TalkZone.com.
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Good afternoon, Illini Nation. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Give us a call, 888-463-6748. Or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We wouldn't be here without our great sponsors, Joe Rizza Auto Dealerships, LPAC Athletic Clubs, Wildfire Steaks, Chops, and Seafood.
By the way, LPAC Athletic Clubs and the Chicago Athletic Club Group was voted the number one health club chain in the city of Chicago by the Chicago Tribune.
And they are the exclusive health club chain of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Also, our friends at AXA Advisors Financial Services and Coldwell Banker Residential Sales and Services.
What about SunTracker.com?
Oh, SunTracker.com.
The ultimate beach and tailgating chair.
You know, since it's about 15 degrees out and very icy, I just wasn't thinking about SunTracker. I apologize, Mr. G. We got a great show at about 12:20. Herb Gould's going to join us. We'll catch up with Herb on, I guess, a little football and basketball.
It's hot stove time in Illini Nation. We're, you know, kind of at that finals period where there's a little gap in the schedule of 10 games. The football season, regrettably, is over, but some big changes are on the horizon, and it's the equivalent of Illini hot stove talk right now.
Yes, and so Herb will put him on the stove at 12:20. Then the top of the second hour, we'll bring back our friend from D.C. Dunbar, Craig Jeffries, and get his take on his friend Coach Loxley going to New Mexico and how that's going to affect Illini recruiting in the East, and if it's going to affect his life coming to Champaign, going to New Mexico, or staying put in Washington, D.C. And finally, our friend Jack Lyman from Scout.com will join us live from the Illini basketball practice at the Ubbin Complex.
Are they allowed Champaign to watch the basketball practice, unlike Coach Zook and football practices?
Absolutely, they're allowed to. The team is scrimmaging now as we speak. It's scheduled to be about 3 hours, and Jack said he'd give us a call at about 20 after our second hour here. Tell us what's happening there. Plus, more importantly, I wanted to get, he was at the hall on Saturday. 7 high school games. Most of our recruits that have signed and or verbaled were there, as well as some of the sophomores and freshmen that we're looking at that haven't verbaled yet. For basketball junkies, it was a heck of a day Saturday at the Assembly Hall. And what I like, it seems like all the guys, the 4 guys that have signed for next year, the 3 guys that have verbaled, Jeremy Crandall and Myers Leonard, they all seem to be playing pretty well thus far at the beginning of the high school season. So that's a good sign as far as I'm concerned, as well as I'm satisfied. I'll ask you, Mr. G, how you feel about our 9-1 basketball record at this point.
Well, I think it's a little bit of fool's gold. We haven't played a very tough schedule. We're yet to see how good Clemson is. Clemson's clearly the best team on our schedule thus far, and it was a game that we should have won at home that we did not. Clearly, though, I will say this about Clemson, in looking at them, They had superior athletes to us. They really were a better team, which may say more about our ability to compete and also maybe a negative commentary on our talent level thus far.
People forget that last year we were in a majority of games and just couldn't get over the hump. And, you know, because of the way Bruce Weber and his staff teaches defense and the way he gets response from the players in defense, I expect us to be in most games this year as we head into the conference season. And because we're a little older and wiser and maybe a little more talented, you know, we're going to win some that we didn't last year, and enough to get us a little over 500 in the conference, which will get us into the tournament.
You know, we have a couple guys who really know how to play defense, but our overall defense still isn't where it should be. The fact that we were out-rebounded by such a huge margin against Hawaii last week really was disturbing on many levels. And even against Chicago State, you know, we played a team of veritable midgets, and still we got beat on the boards, or we won actually by 4 rebounds on the rebounding test. I just don't like what I see in terms of our overall toughness down low, our overall ability to play defense down low, rebound down low. We haven't found an answer to that yet. Anybody who thinks Semrau is the answer doesn't really know that much about basketball. The guy is a Clydesdale, has poor hands, doesn't have any range, is an adequate body for 5 to 6 minutes a game. But anybody who thinks that you can depend on Semrau as an active participant and somebody who can help get you to the next level hasn't really learned enough about basketball to make a comment.
So what's your solution then?
My solution is you've got to stick with Tisdale and Keller and Davis. Hopefully they'll get a little better and a little stronger. You can use Semrau when you need fouls or minutes in a critical situation where guys are in foul trouble, or guys are gassed, or you just need a huge body to fill some space out there. But frankly, I look at our big man rotation, and I think I would limit it to Keller, Tisdale, and Davis. Those guys have to get stronger. They have to get better. They have to learn about defensive positioning, and they have to get after rebounds. Otherwise, we're going to be a very mediocre team. I really think unless those guys can improve their play down low, regardless of whether Legion makes an impact or not, I think we're going to be a middle-of-the-road Big Ten team and perhaps even have a below 500 record in the Big Ten.
Well, I take offense to your comments about Semrau, both about him and about the people who support him, because I still believe in him. I still am going to support him. He's like a rookie. He has basically never played. Plus, he's in a new body that he has never been in before. When he came in from high school, he was a wing player, a three or four.
Did you ever see that movie Bubble Boy?
No.
Bubble Boy, one of the characters.
Is that the same as the boy in the bubble?
No, Bubble Boy, one of the characters in Bubble Boy, he was in a freak show. He had fins for hands, okay? That's what I see with Semrau. He doesn't really have hands, he has fins.
I'm not debating that. Dave, do you always notice how he buds in on me and then I lose my train of thought?
By the
he does
way,
that on purpose because he knows I'm going to have
by
a
the way,
good point.
By
there.
The way, the fact that you were offended by me is duly noted.
Yeah, okay, duly. Keller's got to see more time. I'm not sure why he hasn't, but the last couple games he's been better, and I like that, and I agree that he should be in the rotation. Frankly, out of all the guys on the team, Tisdale has been the one guy that has been disappointing and has underperformed. And, you know, with that said, I'm not giving up on him either. But I think Semrau has shown some good positive things in the limited time he's been there and in the games. And considering he's more or less a rookie at his position and still has 2 more years for us after this, I think you certainly can't give up on him. You got to work with him, give him some time, and he'll produce. Between the two of them, Tisdale and Semrau, I look at them as like our package center. Right now they're averaging about 12 points, 7 rebounds, which needs to increase a little. I think 15 and 10 would be nice, a double-double. And you're absolutely right. I agree. The thing they got to work on is their hands, because I don't even want to say the amount of turnovers they have, the assist to turnover ratio. It's It's very poor and very embarrassing, so I'll just kind of skip over the exact numbers. That's an area they have to improve. Everyone's got to improve rebounding, obviously. But frankly, I think that what Semerow has given thus far is a pleasant surprise for most but you, and I think he'll continue to get better.
If Semerow ever averages 6 points a game or more, I will buy you a steak dinner at Gibson's.
Okay. All right.
And quite frankly, you know, the fact that I interrupt you every once in a while shouldn't really bug you all that much. Yeah, I think your airtime is about 75-25, your ratio. But I can say as much in 25% of the time as you say in 75% of the time.
You sound like a Sox fan counting the, what do they call it? We'll ask Herb the term, the column words or whatever, whining and crying that the Cubs get more airtime and more print and press than the Sox. That's what you sound like there. But I'll take the 75-25 over you anytime I could get that, as anyone that knows Mr. G would gladly accept that. I also want to throw out kudos to a guy that has
Are you insinuating that I dominate most conversations I'm involved in?
No, did I say that?
You said something to that effect.
I don't recall using the word dominate or anything like that.
Okay.
I would like to throw kudos out to a young man who has taken his fair share of hits from fans and even from us occasionally.
You know when you say share and hit too fast together?
What?
Move on. Go ahead.
Okay. Hirscht?
Yeah, something like that.
We could say whatever we want here, can't we?
Go ahead. Frazier.
I would like to say Frazier right now is playing his best ball. I would like to use the word efficient. I think he's playing very efficiently. 64 assists he has in 19 turnovers. And I think, you know, he's definitely helping the squad. Probably lose a few minutes when Legion comes back, but
so he's a reasonable contributor on a mediocre team.
However you want to.
How many minutes would this? How many minutes would he have had on the 2004-2005 team? Would he have smelled it? Would he have played 1 minute, 2 minute?
No, but nevertheless, he's a senior that stuck with it. The way Weber coaches, he looks to get stuff out of his seniors, and that was a downfall last year. And he has stepped up both on the court and from what they tell us off the court. And thus far, he's off to a good start.
He will be the next Jarrence Howard. He'll be an assistant coach.
Nothing wrong with that.
He's a fine human being.
Can't you say that he's having a nice season right now and congratulate him and hope that he continues it?
I think that Frazier is doing the best he can.
Yeah, but he's doing better now than he has his whole career.
He's the tallest dwarf.
I think it's the haircut that's
the tallest dwarf.
All right, so anyway.
By the way, I apologize to all my dwarf friends out there. I don't mean to offend you.
How many of those do you have?
I don't think I have a dwarf.
Okay. So you offended the dwarf nation then or whatever. All right, so. Opponents are shooting 40%. We're shooting 47.
Shooting? Is that?
We're shooting, same. Right now, because the Chicago State game, we had a down game on free throws. But on the season, we're at 71%, which is a vast improvement that'll help us win a few games also. So we've got a few more days off this week. Detroit Saturday night, the Missouri game the following Tuesday.
Are they Detroit or are they Detroit Mercy? Have they gone back to Detroit?
I can't answer that for you.
And what do we know about
Detroit? I
think
some nights when they lose by 30, they're Detroit Mercy.
Right. What
they're
what
coached
do we know?
By Ray McCallum, aren't they?
Ray McCallum, former Lon Kruger assistant and former Ball State coach.
Well, he was in Indiana last year amongst all the
But is that the same
stuff.
Ray McCallum who was played. In Illinois for a while?
No. Different guy.
Different guy.
Yeah, we had a different McCallum. What? No, see, you're wrong there. I was going to question that. I didn't think he... No. This guy played at Ball State, and he was in Indiana last few years with Scumbag. and he got a full-time gig at Detroit. God bless him. He's got a son that supposedly is a pretty good player. So, but anyway, three more games before the conference season starts. And I saw a few games over the weekend, and for good or bad or ugly, there's no team in the conference really that right now, you know, looks totally overwhelming. Usually a team will win it with 2-3 losses. Do you think that's going to happen?
Would Evan Turner be the best player on our team, by the way?
Evan Turner's playing very well. Would he be the best player on our team? He might be the best guard on our team. Davis is playing very, very well.
Evan Turner, it looks sensational, by the way. And it really pains me that Ohio State was able to figure out a way to give his dad a job somewhere in Columbus.
Allegedly.
No, his dad does have a job in Columbus.
Okay. Well, Columbus, you know, for as much as I love Champaign-Urbana, Columbus is a big, big city compared to that. You know, stuff happens, unfortunately. Speaking of which, is that a segue now to football for a few minutes before we have her?
So you want to talk about our friend? We've got a call on the line here. First, we're going to take the call, and then we'll talk a little bit about football. Greg from Highland Park, you're on with Talking Line Ride with Boz and Mr. G.
You guys are in rare form today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you for calling. Good day.
Yeah, it's a great day. It's cold as could be.
It's sunny.
Yeah, well, you're Mr. Sunshine, I guess.
He is Mr. Sunshine.
Don't say when you say that, I think of Blagojevich. Didn't he say there's always a sunshine over his head or something? Anyway, let's go on. What do you got for us?
I just wanted to call and say hello. I think Scott, Mr. G, sorry there, you know, give the basketball team their due and Frazier their due. I know
ha!
You don't...
Thank you, Greg.
I have been impressed. Believe me, I'm not a big fan of his either. But you know what? He's playing well. And I think that, you know, you have to be happy with this is a team we have.
You know, and let's give every kid in the league a trophy because they're all trying hard and they're doing their best.
But the point I'm making is he's putting up good numbers very efficiently, helping us win games.
You know, he's not hurting us as much as he has in years past.
Well, whichever way you want to phrase it, Mr. Phraseologist.
Go ahead, Greg. I don't want to step on your shoes here.
No, he only steps on my shoes.
The existing players had nothing to do with making the schedule, okay? Maybe they would do a different schedule if they had a different team, whatever. But the games are scheduled. All they can do is go out and play these teams. You know, do we know if any of them are good, bad? We have no idea. It is, you know, the end result will be in, you know, March, and we'll know where things are if they had a good year. You know, after the football, let's put it this way. As a big Illini fan, after this year's football team, this is a breath of fresh air.
I don't disagree with the fact that they've been pleasant to watch. This has been much more fun to watch than last year. Last year was just horrible. And by the way, Randall's averaging about 16 points a game in Israel and is starring on his team and is healthy for the first time in a long time. And props to Brian Randall, who really was so demoralized and so down and so injured throughout his Illini career, never, ever, ever came close to his potential. And quite frankly, I think was a complete head case his senior year. Pruitt, on the other hand, never came close to his potential and dragged everyone around him down to the point where he became a veritable cancer on the team. He affected recruiting. He affected the mood of the team. He's been called out by teammates since he's left. So there's better chemistry. There's better camaraderie on this team. They're playing together. They're playing unselfishly. It's better basketball to watch. However, they're still not a very talented team. They still have significant holes in this team. You're going to be playing in a Big Ten league, which is middle-heavy. The top two teams are not very good, although they are a cut above the rest of the conference. I'm talking about, of course, Purdue and Michigan State. From a talent standpoint, they have better talent than the rest of the conference. The middle of the conference is probably better than it's been in a few years. And with the exception of Indiana, you don't have a single doormat other than Indiana in the entire league. So it'll be more competitive in terms of the middle games, but it still won't make you a great basketball team. relative to the rest of the nation just because you're competitive in the Big Ten.
Well, but you didn't expect to be that this year, did you? We wanted to rebound from last year, no pun intended. We wanted to get to a tournament, hopefully the tournament, and we wanted to get our sophomores a lot of confidence, a lot of experience, a lot of growth in their abilities so they could lead the next two tremendous incoming recruiting classes that we have. So those youngsters don't have to carry the load all by themselves.
And one of the concerns I have going forward into the 2009-2010 season is that we still don't have a true point guard. And McCamey has shown that he's a very good two-guard, that he understands how to score the basketball. He's a mediocre defender, but he isn't a very good point guard. And we still don't have a point guard on board for this year or next year who, to me, is going to be the type of point guard that leads you to a high level on the national scene.
All right. Well, you know, McCamey is going to be improving in that area. You haven't seen DJ Richardson or Joseph Bertrand play yet. One of those, if not both of them, will be groomed to be a point guard as well. One of the coaches told me if he had to pick one today, it would be Bertrand, who's about 6'5". Who, if you want to compare him to somebody,
Bardo-esque.
Exactly, might be a Bardo-esque type point guard. So, and with our offense, I'm not that worried about that position as you are.
Greg, give us a parting shot. We've got Herb Gould teed up and waiting for us, and give us your last shot here.
My last shot is that at least, you know, let's have some fun. It's entertainment. Let's take it for what it is. We weren't expecting miracles this year, and I think I'm excited about it, you know, better than I thought it would be.
I mean, some people some people are entertained by laughing. Other people are entertained by, you know, by harassing other people. So it's just a matter of what gets you off, I guess.
You see what I have to put up with here, Greg, in Illini Nation? It's entertaining for me.
Okay.
Other than Mrs. G, I might be the only guy that gets to spend 2 hours with him a week. That's worth the price of admission itself.
Good. I got a roll.
I'll talk
Bye.
To you. Our next guest is a regular contributor to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G, the inimitable Herb Gould. Hello, Herb.
Hey there. How's it going?
You know,
Herb, do you know how to spell inimitable?
I got spell check.
Okay, I thought so. I can't barely say it, especially coming in out of the cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would think that Boz, with his lack of vocabulary, lack of expansive vocabulary, maybe, you know, the fact that he slurs his words, mispronounces words, who would you compare him to? What comedian? What was the guy's name who always mispronounced words? He was on the Ed Sullivan show all the time.
Right, I'll think of it. I'm picturing his face.
Yeah.
Did we miss a break that we have to go to? Or
yeah, but we're going to do a break.
I'll think of the guy's name.
Herb, we're going to spend a few minutes with you, and then we're going to hopefully put you on hold for a while so we can get to a quick break, and then we'll have you back.
Let's continue with basketball. We'll do football after the break.
Fine. It's hot stove time in Illini Nation with this 10-day break. Herb, give us the State of the Union address.
Basketball we're talking
about? Yeah, basketball.
You know, I think that there's some things going on there. I mean, I think Mike Davis is a really nice-looking player. Mike Tisdale is doing some things. You know, we won't really know about either of those guys until they start doing some Big Ten banging. But they're off to better starts than you might have expected, especially with Davis. And the guards, you know, I'll be real interested to see how Legion fits in and if he elevates the backcourt perimeter guys as much as he might. You know, you don't know till they get out on the floor. You know, I think that there's some good things going on. That said, I think it's just tougher in the league now, even though the league is still sort of transitioning. There's a lot of programs that are on the cusp of doing some real good things in the Big Ten, and that's going to make it difficult for Illinois to get back to, you know, really being right at the top.
Yeah, I think actually 3-10 is stronger than it's been in a long time in the Big Ten.
Yes, and You know, Bruce mentions 1 and 2, Purdue and Michigan State, and then saying it's wide open, and I don't believe that. I believe that Wisconsin and Ohio State are also a step ahead of everybody else. You know, I really think those four are going to be there at the end, not only going in, but also what they've done so far. You know, and that makes it tough. And Michigan and Penn State are better. And I think that, you know, Indiana is going to be better. I mean, it's going to be there maybe a year, maybe 2 years away, but they're going to be back because Crean was a really good choice. So, you know, when you get into those kind of numbers, and I'm leaving somebody out, I can't think of it at the moment.
Iowa, you didn't mention?
Minnesota. And maybe Iowa. Iowa, I don't have as good a feel for.
And they lost their leading scorer, too, to an undisclosed personal incident, team violation.
That seems to be going around lately.
Yeah, that does go around. But, I mean, over the long haul, Tubby's going to get that done. He's got some good recruiting breakthroughs going on. So, you know, it's just tough to make the kind of breakthroughs that Illinois was making. You know, I think back to 10 years ago when Lon came in and really upgraded. You know, he just did a great job with some experienced kids and was able to put Illinois into a real contender place. I don't think you can do that anymore in the league unless you've got all the pieces. You've got to have the coaching and the talent.
Where do we stand in relation to the rest of the conference on talent?
You know, I think it's kind of in the middle. I mean, there's a lot of positive things going on, as you guys mentioned. I mean, the two classes the next couple years are very encouraging, but those classes aren't going to put you on top. They're just going to help you kind of remain competitive because, you know, you look at what Ohio State is bringing in and what Michigan State is bringing in and what Indiana is going to have in a couple of years. And Matt's doing a nice job at Purdue.
But you got to figure, if you put together two top 10 classes in a row, that should get you in the top 15 nationally if you develop that talent and give you a chance to make a run somewhere late in the season.
Yeah, that should be. I mean, does Illinois have two top 10 classes in a row?
Yeah, they'll have the number 8 or 9 class in the country for 2009, and currently the 2010 class is rated 2 in the country.
Well, that's good. You know, the other thing I wonder about is, you know, the 2010 class, I want to see all of those guys qualify before I'm not counting those chickens. They have until they hatch. I hear some stories that, you know, not all those guys are locks to qualify and actually wear the uniform. So that colors it a little bit. And the other part that I have concerns about with the recruiting is I think he's doing well on the perimeter, but I don't know about, you know, I mean, you need to get some quality bigs. I mean, when you talk about being a top 15 program, you're talking about having somebody who up front who is really...
We need a beast.
Good, yes, uh-huh.
You know. I mean, Harvin Roy Schmidt said that Myers Leonard was the best big man in the state today, better than Cooley, who is a senior. So he had a very positive thing to say about, they both had positive things to say about Myers Leonard. Having said that, we need, you know, an athlete up front, somebody who is a freak, a North Carolina-type freak up front. And Myers Leonard, no matter if he's the best big man in the state, he's not that type of freakish athlete.
No, that's true. I mean, you're not. Of course, there aren't that many of those guys to go around, but you know, I don't know that they have. You know, I mean, Mike Davis is kind of an athletic big.
If he gets strong enough, he could fall into the freakish category.
Yeah, and you know, when I think back on the muscles that were put on guys, even D. Brown. I mean, if you just measure the biceps that D. Brown acquired from his freshman sophomore year till the end of his career.
Mike Davis looks like a 1980s Boston Celtic player.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, they need to muscle him up, and then you have to be careful how you do it. I mean, I always thought they over-muscled Corey Bradford.
You know?
I mean,
And Sergio McClain.
And Sergio. You know, you
By the way, Norm Crosby, who is Boz, correctly identified the guy as Norm Crosby, is telling me that we need to break for a couple moments here, Herb. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. Thanks, Herb.
Hey Illini fans, looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
You'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
If you're hearing talk on the internet, you're listening to TalkZone.com.
Wow, thank you for that.
TalkZone.com.
You're talking Illini on TalkZone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
Herb, for those of us out in the audience who don't necessarily know exactly what you do, why don't you fill in Illini Nation on who Herb Gould is and where they can find you?
Well, I write for the Sun-Times. I've covered Illinois for about 15 years and cover both football, basketball, occasionally get into some of the other stuff. And you can go to suntimes.com, and we're starting to blog a little bit, so we've got even more coverage for people.
How'd you get the gig at age 30?
Well, I had covered the Blackhawks before that, for about 5 years, and that got to be a little bit too much suitcase living. So, and then I had covered colleges before. I covered Notre Dame for about 5 years in the 80s, and I had been a news reporter before that, but I always liked sports, and the opportunity came up to move over to sports, and so I got back to sports where I'd been in college.
Let's morph over to football for a moment and talk a little bit about some of the potential coaching moves with this football team before we get into some of the off-the-field shenanigans. What are you hearing about Kurt Mallory to Miami of Ohio? It sounds like it's pretty much a done deal.
You know, I haven't followed that one. I've been looking more at the offensive coordinator. I'm looking at incoming more than outgoing. If that's true, that would make a lot of sense. I mean, obviously the Mallory family has a big connection to Miami of Ohio, and he would be a good one. That said, Dan Dish is a guy that I really have a lot of respect for. I think he brings a lot, you know, and he's the co-defensive coordinator.
Do you anticipate other shakeups on this staff, other than perhaps Mallory getting a gig and obviously Loxley going to New Mexico?
Not really. I mean, unless somebody, I don't, you know, we talked about that. I've got no indications that anybody is leaving because of any disappointment with what happened this year. It's not like they're making a change because something didn't work out well. I mean, if they're making changes, it's guys getting better job offers and leaving. I think Ron Zook really likes his staff. He likes the chemistry, for sure, and he likes the recruiting potential, which I think is really still very high, even with Locksley leaving. I mean, Dan Dish just does a great job in North Florida, and I think Reggie Mitchell's been doing a lot of nice things, you know, closer to home, and you go down the list. I mean, he's got a lot of high energy guys, and they do the initial legwork on the recruiting, and he's a great closer.
Herb, over the weekend in one of your columns, you mentioned, I believe, Chuck Long as a possibility. Is that something that you heard from somebody or just kind of threw out there as a floater? And might there be another name or two you want to lay on us for offensive coordinator?
That one I definitely heard from somewhere, and I know that there's some interest on both sides. How much interest, I don't know, and I hear some other things about, you know, whether Chuck's the right guy to do what Ron Zook likes to do. But I know that there's something to that. I just didn't pull that out of the air.
No, and do you know how involved Gunther is in the process of choosing the offensive coordinator and whether he's involved at all?
I would think that he's not real involved on this one. I didn't talk to Ron about that. I talked to Ron about some other things not long ago. This isn't a scenario. I mean, the last time Gunther really was, I know he was very active when Lou Tepper needed an offensive coordinator. We're going way back. But I don't think he gets involved in it at this kind of a level. In some ways, I kind of wish that, you know, he has an expertise that would be helpful in some of that stuff. But I think he trusts Ron Zook to make hires on the assistant side.
And I think, but I do think he wants his voice heard on these matters, and I think he has strong opinions on the direction of the football program.
Yeah, he does, and that could be. But I mean, I guess the thing of it is, the offense, you know, it looked a lot worse than I thought it would this fall because of a combination of ingredients. I mean, they just, none of those young running backs stepped up. And it's easy to, you know, for people to forget what Rashard Mendenhall looked like as a freshman and sophomore, what Pierre Thomas looked like early on. And, you know, and yet I don't, for, you just don't know. I mean, those guys just were too young.
I really think, though, it had more to do with the offensive line than the quality of the running backs.
Well, that's also very true. I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, the offensive line was banged up in places. The experienced guys were banged up. The new guys were, you know, learning on the job. I mean, a combination, you know. I mean,
there were two issues that really I thought contributed to our lack of production out of the running back position. One was a reticence on Juice's part to run more because he wanted to prove to the world that he was a pro-style quarterback and had pro potential, and he thought if he had a big year passing the ball and ran less, he could make a point that way. And the second issue was that our offensive line was so banged up and unproductive. And when I say unproductive, some of the guys that you expected big production from, i.e. Fulton, i.e. McDonald, really just didn't step up and have great years as offensive linemen.
Well, no, they didn't, and I think the injury factor was huge with Fulton and with and pretty big with McDonald. No, that's really true. Juice was there. There were some external things going on there with Juice about, you know, I mean, I was sort of shocked mid-season to hear things that, like, people were wondering if Juice could come out early, and I was thinking to where, you know,
to Canada.
But he was clearly making, you know, noises like,
right,
he was considering coming out.
No, you're right. And that was just very, somebody was giving him some real misinformation there. Yeah, that was that was not good. But you know, it was just a, it was just the combination of ingredients, and then, you know, I just wonder, they got ahead of themselves in a lot of ways. I mean, it, I really think that that Minnesota game just really cut their hearts out, and they never really recovered from that. And if you think about that Minnesota game, you know, Minnesota deserved to win that game because they played some really smart, opportunistic football. But in a lot of ways, I mean, Juice set an offensive record. Wasn't that the record?
Yeah, I think so.
Memorial
Stadium.
I mean, they did a bunch of things.
Minnesota was exposed throughout the year, though, as being a very mediocre football
team. Well, they were, and Illinois gave them 14 points on 17 yards. You know, they the two turnover touchdowns just killed them, and then they got tight when they went up to Wisconsin and continued to, you know, be tighter. I mean, they just... That game really hurt them.
You've said that you don't think that anyone's going to be demoted for performance, and I tend to disagree with you as it relates to that. So let's look at some dominoes. Let's say that Mallory does in fact get a Miami of Ohio job.
Right.
Is Dish a lock to become the defensive coordinator in that case?
Oh, I don't. Not necessarily. I mean, I don't. You know, I got the impression that. See, that one's hard for me because Dish is a guy that I really, you know, think, you know, he's a great ambassador for the team, and he really knows his stuff. He's a guy that I just ended up spending more time with, so I think that he's really a good one. But, you know, whether, you know, when you're talking about coordinator, you're talking about, you know, some things that are, they're almost, I don't want to diminish them by saying they're accounting skills, because they're more than that, but you know, that you just have to know how to do the workups and things, and whether Dan is versed enough to do that on his own, I don't know.
It's the same issue that people probably have with Reggie Mitchell as it relates to being an OC.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's just, there are some things that go in there, you know, and then that said, I mean, the defensive line was not, you know, they didn't play the way I think people thought they would. And you can look at losing Cyrod.
So is Sims vulnerable?
I don't know. You know, it could be.
You're getting rid of the whole coaching.
That's the thing. I mean, you can't.
Is Woody vulnerable?
The O-line guy?
No. The special teams guy.
Special teams. You know what? Special teams, I don't understand what's going on there at all, because that was Ron Zook's...
Herb, I believe that you and I could have done a better job at special teams coaching this year.
Yeah, you would think that they could do that better than they did. I don't know.
They couldn't afford us, but we could have done a better job.
Yeah, they couldn't afford you.
Herb Gould's talking a lot with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Give us a call at 888-463-6748 or an email at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com. Herb, regardless of who the defensive coordinator might be, if Mallory leaves and, you know, and Dish is not elevated, or even if he is elevated, isn't it Zook's philosophy, this bend, don't break, versus... us fans want to get a little more aggressive. You know, who's going to dictate that?
Yeah, well, you know, the other part is you got to go with what your personnel can do too. And I think there should be a real concern about what they're going to be doing at linebacker. I mean, the defensive line had some issues, but when I look at what was going on at linebacker, I mean, beyond Britt,
yeah,
they had a real patchwork thing going on there. I mean, Martez is still learning.
Didn't you hear we're going with 6 down linemen and 5 defensive backs next year?
Yeah. Well,
we're not going to have any linebackers.
That could well be. You know, I mean, that was one of the things that Minnesota did. I mean, they and had a, you know, a pretty good defense at times. But what he does is he just basically uses a big safety and calls him a linebacker.
Speaking of Britt, Herb, they had the awards banquet over the weekend, and Ben was voted. I don't even who votes on this, the players, the coaches. But you had a nice article. You thought that Miller should have been MVP and not Ben, and I'd probably agree with you there.
Yeah, I whatever they want to do, and as I mentioned in there, I think they liked the idea of having somebody who was a returnee get the award, but. Britt Miller, wow! I mean, you could make a case that they don't even win 5 games if they don't have Britt Miller, And as much as Regis did at times, he really didn't do any. I was really expecting him to be a force at punt return, and it never really developed.
I thought he played tentatively.
Yeah, he just didn't get in sync there, and I think he took a lot of, he saw a lot of double covers and things that made it hard for him. I mean, what he did as a receiver, I don't have too much of a problem with. But the special teams thing wasn't there, and they didn't, a little more offense would have gone a long way on that team. I mean, I thought that defense was better than people, it wasn't great, but a lot of times the defense just was left out there too much. There were too many turnovers and...
Well, turnovers in our net punting and kickoff returns,
yeah,
relative to other teams,
I mean,
two areas that just absolutely destroyed us.
No, that's right. I mean, there were just a lot of losing field position battles just throughout the season.
Well, I estimated that we probably, on a net basis, started 12 yards worse than our opponents throughout the year.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, when I think of, that Northwestern game where the field position was really nasty, and it just wasn't in sync all year. I mean, I think...
We haven't blocked a punt in since the Missouri game, I think, 2 years ago. I mean, it's...
Right.
Our special teams, we get nothing out of them. We don't even call them special teams anymore. We call them the indifferent teams.
Yeah, there you go.
Herb, can you stick with us through another two-minute break?
Absolutely.
We're listening, and you're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. We're talking to the one, the only Herb Gould. We'll be back in a moment after these words from our sponsors.
Someday you may wake up and think, uh-oh, I'm running out of time to do something about retirement. AXA Advisors can help you do something now that may provide a solid future for you and your family. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The award-winning SunTracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the SunTracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. SunTracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
We interrupt to bring you this.
You've connected with a worldwide network of millions. You're on TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Now, back to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Boz and Mr. G.
We're talking with our friend Herb Gould. You can email us at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com. Or call us and ask questions of Herb at 888-463-6748. So, Herb, who's on your short list for the offensive coordinator's position?
I haven't surveyed the waterfront. I think I talked to Chuck Long a while back when he was still at Oklahoma. And he's a guy that I followed because I covered him when he was at Iowa, and I talked to him with the Lions. I want to like him. But I don't know what all the options are. I know that Ron has, he's been getting some calls from, some people. I might even have mentioned it. People like Dan Reeves and Dick Vermeil are making calls on behalf of candidates. I'm not sure. There might be a couple NFL types, but it's more like college assistants. And, I'm not sure exactly who. I think that it, for me, I want to see it be somebody who is going to keep up that recruiting end of it as well, because I think that the scheme stuff, the way they do it, I mean, it's just, you need, you know, it's, a lot of it is about talent and execution, and I don't know that you can, you know, I don't know that there's any magic formula with a coach. I mean, if you got the talent and you drill the execution, you know, you go from there. I don't know. Are you guys hearing other names?
Mr. G has a ton of names. I don't hear anything. But does this surprise you that this job is as coveted to warrant NFL coaches calling Zook and the likes?
I think that you know, it's an offensive coordinator job at a high profile, you know, a place where that could be a really good stepping stone. I mean, they're doing such a good job of recruiting. I don't know that people really appreciate it right at the moment, but the talent base is the best that I've seen it in 15 years.
Well, except if you look at linebacker and offensive line.
Well, that's the problem is that they haven't. Yeah, they need to get the talent to match the holes a little bit better. Offensive line, I don't think there's some good young guys on the offensive line, aren't there?
I think it's just a matter of experience for them. That's a tough position for anyone to come in and start playing in a second year, let alone a first year.
Yeah, I mean, they played two true freshmen, and they have a third one that everybody thinks is really going to be...
Posick, right?
Posick, yeah. Who's? I mean, those are three really good building blocks. But as you said, Boz, you know, that's just a position where it's all about experience, and not only, you know, they have to know what the guy next to them is thinking and doing, and they also have to just spend time in the weight room.
Right. Most offensive linemen come in redshirt first year, and if they see the field their third year on campus, they still have 3 years left to go.
Nonetheless, it was still disconcerting to have a 2 year experience gap in the upperclassmen with not a lot of juniors, seniors, or fifth-year players who were ready to step in and play when things got bad.
Well, no, and that's a really good point, Scott. And I think, you know, the flip side of that is that they have, like, enough receivers for about four teams,
right.
And yet they're hurting at linebacker. And, you know, and it crosses my mind, I mean, the difference, some of these big receivers, and I don't know which ones, but maybe what they should be doing. I mean, there's no doubt if Aurelius Ben wanted to be a linebacker, you know, I know that he doesn't, but just for example, you know, if a guy who's 6'2 and 200 pounds who can run like the wind wants to be a linebacker, I think you can put another 20 pounds on him in the right way, and he could be... they need to be doing more of that. There's no question, and Scott makes a really good point that they're light in places and heavy in places, and you need to address those things so that you don't get caught short. I don't know how they address the linebacker thing for next year.
Well, hopefully they'll grow some linebackers at Illinois, because right now the cupboard looks a little bare, and we don't have experience, and we don't have a tremendous amount of talent. I am optimistic that Martez Wilson will have a breakout year as a junior.
Well, and that's true, and then, you know, the other part about that that I wonder about is, you know, some of the other schools that were recruiting Tez thought he was better at defensive end. And seeing the difficulties that he had, you know, absorbing responsibilities at that linebacker spot, which was the toughest linebacker spot, and I don't know, is he going to be a defensive end down the road, you know, on Sundays? Or I guess... I hope you're right, because I really like Martez, and I think he's a really good kid.
By the way, he's a good student from what I hear as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's just super, and it's just, you know, it's just, words can't describe how bad I feel about this whole incident over the weekend. Everything I know about him and his family, this is not a kid who's out looking for trouble. He was really trying to help somebody from every indication I have. And, you know, I mean, to be, you know, to be involved in a stabbing like this is just, you know, it's just terrifying.
Well, Zook always says, nothing good happens after midnight.
Yes.
My mother said that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and everybody says that. And yet, when you're 20 years old, you don't believe it.
He didn't violate any team rules. He wasn't anywhere that was, you know, on a blacklist in terms of places he wasn't supposed to be. And quite frankly, it puts the program in a little better light than something like Jamar Smith's incident where he basically turned his back on a teammate. This was a kid coming to the aid of an ex-teammate in a very heroic fashion.
Well, I think that's really true. And, you know, and yet I know there are going to be cynical people out there who aren't going to, you know, totally buy the story or maybe aren't going to hear the whole story. You'd like to think that, you know, geez, I mean, there's just too many of these going on right now. I mean, it's probably at every university. Maybe we just know more about it at Illinois because we're around it. But
yeah, I hear you.
But
getting back to the offensive coordinator position for a second, Long is out there. Everybody knows he's a candidate. Whose
right.
candidate he is, you know, remains to be seen. I have my own opinions about that, but he's somebody's candidate for the job. Beathard is an obvious choice if we stay in-house for the
right.
position. And quite frankly, with Juice being a senior, it may be the best thing to do because it gives him the ability to stay with somebody who he's comfortable with, and the transition wouldn't be as difficult for a kid who's going into a senior year and so much is riding on Juice Williams' production his senior year. There have been calls made to Zook. There have been people stepping up, big-time coordinators from other college programs, big-time coordinators from pro programs who have stepped up, who have called, who have made their interest known in the job. It remains to be seen whether or not they go that path or not, but I know that this job is a highly coveted job, and I believe that it's highly coveted because people see the talent coming back, and they believe that this is an offense that can really shine next year. And having said that, if you look at aspiring coaches, and all these guys, or most of these guys, really aspire to be head coaches somewhere. So now you've got a situation where the former offensive coordinator has taken a head coaching job. Perhaps our defensive coordinator will take a head coaching job as well. You're going to attract better coaches to a situation where they think it's a stepping stone to major college jobs.
Oh, there's no question, and I totally agree, Scott. I mean, when you're bringing in the talent that Illinois is bringing in, and you're gonna have a chance to coach up kids that can be successful. I mean, people who follow Illinois know that if you don't have the if you don't have the speed and the strength, it can be difficult to coach them up. And that does make Illinois a real attractive place for assistant coaches.
By the way, I've heard that Loxley may take a couple kids with him, not necessarily existing players or players on the current roster, but maybe Anthony Morris, who was a big-time recruit who's playing at Western Arizona right now, is said to be following in Loxley's path to New Mexico, which isn't too far from Western Arizona. A couple other kids wouldn't shock me if they were not necessarily big-time Illinois recruits, but kids who maybe were second-tier Illinois recruits could follow Loxley to New Mexico as well. And you'll see some former recruits, kids that he was in contact with that maybe went other places that are contemplating transferring right now. I think you'll see them following Loxley as well. I really anticipate that Loxley will have that program in a very good place in very short order.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, that's a place that was my first job in New Mexico, and they follow their sports down there, and that's a league where if you get some talent and you coach them up right, you can do some things. I sort of thought maybe he was thinking along different lines before he took that job, that he could go right from the Illinois coordinator job to a BCS job, but he's done it. He chose to go a different route, and that can be real good because, as you said, there's a lot of opportunity to be successful at UNM.
I think there's a certain amount of truth to what you said. You know, I look at the Duke example. All these Duke assistants took high-profile jobs. They waited for that huge job, and a lot of them fell right on their face. You know, Quinn Snyder comes to mind as a guy who took a job and really fell flat on his face. Tommy Amaker at Michigan fell flat on his face. I think sometimes you're better off learning your craft as a head coach at a smaller university and really being able to hone your craft outside of a big spotlight. too many of these guys really reach for that brass ring early and are ill-equipped for those big jobs.
Well, that's a good point too, because you can survive some of the setbacks at the lower level and learn how to deal with them. I think one of the big things is being able to just communicate and keep your kids motivated. I mean, I got the feeling, you know, Ron Zook mentioned it himself a bunch of times, and I think it was the case with football this year that there just was, you know, that there was a little bit of a question in people's minds that they weren't all on the same page the way they were a year ago. And, you know, when the chips are down, that can be huge. And there were so many games that, you know, a turnover here, you know, if the turnover goes the other way for whatever reason, you know, Illinois survives as opposed to taking the step back that really appears to have been done this year.
Herb, you've got two choices. You can either talk to Coach Craig Jeffries out of suburban Maryland, and or we can say goodbye to you. Coach Jeffries, of course, has sent a lot of the great Illini players, Regis Benn, Vontae Davis. If you want us to put you on with Coach Jeffries, this would be a talking Illini first for Boz and myself. We'd have two guests on at the same time, but we'll hook you into Coach Jeffries if you've got a couple questions for him.
Well, that sounds great.
All right, we're going to bring him in. Coach Jeffries?
Yes.
Hi, Mr. G here with Boz, and we've got Herb Gould on the line from the Chicago Sun-Times. Okay. Herb covers sports for the Chicago Sun-Times, one of the most prominent writers in the state of Illinois, and Herb's got a question for you.
Okay.
Well, I guess I would just ask your thoughts on Mike Locksley leaving the Illinois program, and what does that mean in terms of, you know, there have been so many kids that have come out of your area to Champaign, and I think it's been a good experience for them, and I know that Illinois is thrilled to have players like Regis and Vontae. Do you expect that connection to continue?
Well, losing Mike Locksley, you know, there's definitely going to be a slight drop-off, because Mike Locksley really knew the ins and outs of the metropolitan D.C. area, and he had some strong connections with the area coaches. But the kids love Illinois. The connections that with the kids can be great ambassadors for the university, you know, themselves. And I think as long as those guys are there and they continue to try to recruit, you know, the D.C. area, you know, they're going to get their fair share of guys. If you look in the past, I mean, they were able to get Marcus Mason, a guy from the area. They also had Mike Martin a while back and Lonnie Perrin. So I think if they put the effort into it, you know, they'll get some guys. But Locksley really was dedicated to the area because he was from here. He had connections. And, you know, by him not being there, I don't know who would step up and have the commitment to the area like Locksley did. But I know the kids in D.C. love Illinois. You know, it's the buzz around the town about Champaign and what the University of Illinois is doing. And, you know, it's still, I think that there still will be a connection there.
Coach, have you talked to Coach Zook within the last week or so about some of the recruits at your school and maybe in the area as well?
No, I haven't spoke directly with Coach Zook about any of the recruits or any of the guys in the area.
And I read, maybe you were just joking, but I read somewhere last week when Coach Locksley took the job that you made a comment, correct me if I'm wrong, that you know, you could fill the bill recruiting the D.C. Maryland area for Zook if he wanted you to. Are you looking to make a move?
Well, I said that, but you know, that would be something I would entertain. You know, I've been coaching here for 22 years, and I have, you know, quite a few connections and some good ties with the area. I know the area. I'm committed to the area, so. Would be a good fit, but I hadn't spoken to anyone, and, you know, I said that because I think that would be a good opportunity. But you know, they need someone to come in that's going to be serious and committed to D.C., and Locksley was passionate about it. You know, he recruited this area for a long time, and, you know, they need a guy similar to him or just making somewhat of a commitment to the program, to the D.C. area, D.C. metropolitan area, to get these kids.
Have you talked to Locksley since he took the job?
I spoke with him. He's been real busy. He's trying to put together staff. You know, he's interviewing his players and looking at tapes and things of that nature. So, yeah, I spoke with him a couple of times.
Well, I just think that the key is going to be continuing the relationship and who's going to be the person to maintain that relationship with somebody like yourself. And whether it's you coming to Illinois or Illinois bringing in somebody who connects to the coaches and the players in that area in a way that was similar to the way that Coach Loxley did that. And I think it's going to be critical to that end and to maintaining that relationship that somebody is in that position who feels at home in the Washington, D.C. area and makes those kids feel at home in Champaign.
Well, you know, the university sells itself, and they just have to make a commitment to, you know, coming in the area. I'm sure, you know, I've gotten to meet several other coaches on the staff just having my guys there, and, you know, Reggie Mitchell and Coach Sims and Dish, you know, all of those guys, you know, they're capable recruiters. But just, you know, who's going to come in this area? You know, anyone on the staff now, I think, can come in D.C. And recruit our guys. But just the commitment has to be there. I think what Loxley, though, brought to the table is that, you know, coming from D.C., knowing the nooks and crannies, and he does have some strong ties relationship. That gave him a slight advantage. But, you know, the kids that are there, you know, they'll be great ambassadors. If you can get kids on campus to see the new facilities, and to see how well the kids from the area are doing there, that would be a great start for them.
What's the one position that you might be best at being a position coach at, Coach?
Well, I'm a jack of trades, but a master of none, because I coach everything on the high school level and try to do a little bit of everything. But I like working with receivers. I like working with the DBs. You know, I can tell you with the exclude, offensive line, quarterbacks. You know, those are things that you probably probably not my strong suit, but I really enjoy working with the receivers. Really like working with the DBs, running back. You know, all of those positions are positions that I coach or have a hand in, and but I have a great staff here. But it's football, and I'm a football coach, and I do a lot of things with special teams and things of that nature. So. I'm open and flexible with, you know, a bunch of positions. But like I say, quarterbacks, offensive line, you know, defensive line, you know, that's not my strong suit.
Herb, how important do you think the Maryland connection is to Illinois' future success, and what would you recommend relative to maintaining that connection?
Well, I think that, you know, you need to have areas where people are comfortable. I think that there are some inroads. I talked to Ron Zook about this the other day, and he mentioned that, you know, he's gotten some familiarity with the area, and if you bring in an assistant who's familiar with that area, that's great. But if you end up, I think he used the example, well, what if we bring in a guy from Texas? Well, now we've some connections on the Texas front, so it's hard to say. I mean, you just, you know, you have opportunity. I think it helps to have people like Vontae and Regis there are going to be ambassadors for you, and then you just go from there.
What have you heard, Coach Jeffries, about the experience of the Maryland kids? Have they felt like Illinois and Champaign is home?
Yeah, they really do. They love it. They've only said good things about Illinois. They feel comfortable and feel like they're at home there. I mean, they've really had a great experience, and I haven't heard one complaint from any of those kids that were up there about you know, being away from home and the situation that they're in there. So, you know, the kids from D.C., you know, pretty flexible. You know, I know my guys are, and I'm sure the other kids, you know, from the D.C. surrounding areas, you know, Prince George's County and the Maryland area, you know, they all feel comfortable there. So, you know, with the facilities that University of Illinois have, the guys that have been successful there, you know, if the effort is there in recruiting, and I think they continue to get guys.
Do you think it'll be a tough sell for Coach Locks to get kids from the D.C. area to come down to New Mexico?
Well, you know, D.C. is not a state, and you know, regardless what other schools may say, you know, we don't have a state school. We don't have a state university here, and kids are open to anybody that recruit them. I've had kids go to Utah, had kids go to San Diego State, had kids go to Texas El Paso. So if the opportunity presents themselves and they get a chance to get on the field and play, you know, I'm sure there's some kids that will, you know, explore the opportunity to go to New Mexico. And that's the same thing with Illinois. You know, I think the effort that Loxley put in here was second to none. He really took you know, Washington, D.C. and the Maryland area serious. You know, a lot of states and a lot of universities just spot recruit here. But, you know, he recruited just like this was his home base. And that's why he was able to have the success that he had here.
You know, I'd like to say that from my perspective, a lot of people close to the program, I think that Coach Locksley was nothing but positive for the program. We all wish him well. We knew this day was coming in terms of him getting a job somewhere, a head job somewhere. I think it bodes well for him. It speaks well of the type of staff that Ron Zook has put together, and it will speak well about the type of guys who want to come to Illinois who are looking to move on to the next level as coaches as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Locksley deserves the opportunity that that's presented to him. I'm happy for him, and I wish him well, you know, and you know, his endeavors, and I'm sure he'll be successful there.
Herb, any follow-up questions for Coach Jeffries?
No, other than to say, you know, you've really done a great job of producing some kids that are not only great athletes, but really quality people, and congratulations to you, and best of luck.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Herb, we're going to say goodbye to you now, and we'll catch up with you a little later. We're going to stay on for a couple of minutes with Coach Jeffries. Thanks again, Herb Gould of the Chicago Sun-Times, chicagosuntimes.com.
My pleasure. Take care, guys.
See you.
Okay, Herb, thank you.
Take it easy.
Coach, you still there with us?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. That all worked.
Good.
So, Coach, it sounds like even though you've been coaching at your high school for over 20 years, that you're open to listen to some other coaches if they want to talk to you about moving up to the D1 college ranks.
Yeah, well, you know, that's been an aspiration of mine, you know, and I think football is my calling here in high school. But, you know, lately I've seen, you know, and had the urge to kind of, you know, to move on. I mean, we've been to the championship 13 straight years. We won 8 out of 13 city championships. You know, we've produced a lot of players, and, you know, everyone in the country has been here recruiting my kids. So, you know, I've had a lot of experience seeing, you know, what guys do in terms of recruiting. You know, going to the next level in coaching, you know, would be something I would definitely be interested in.
Have you had any serious talks with anyone the last year or so?
Well, I've interviewed for a couple of positions the last couple of years. You know, I guess lack of experience is probably the main thing that concerns college coaches. I would be surprised that they would think recruiting would be, because, like I said, I've heard everybody spill. I've been able to kind of pick up some good things that they do and some bad things that they do. Going to the next level in terms of coaching, you know, on the Division I level, that would be a challenge for me. But, you know, the time that they have versus the time that I have, you know, is probably the difference. You know, just putting the time into what they do, and you know, what it takes to be a coach on that level. Presented the time, then I guess I can catch up and do the things I need to do.
Well, you know, we've been kicking around ideas as to who's going to replace Coach Locksley as offensive coordinator, someone from the outside, someone from the inside, and especially with Juice being a senior, maybe someone from the inside makes sense. And Mr. G, sounds like we might have the solution. We've mentioned Coach Beathard being offensive coordinator. Then we can move Coach Jeffries into the receiver coach.
I was thinking, what do you know about special teams, Coach?
Well, that's probably my I love special teams. That's probably a good forte of mine, too. I mean, I was a special teams coach at the U.S. Army All-American Bowl game last year, and I actually coached the special teams here. I give my coordinators and position coaches a chance to do what they do, but, you know.
I think we're on to something.
I love being involved with the special teams as well, so you know, that's something that I'm really interested in. But, again, on that level, you know, there's some things that have to be in place. And, you know, just a matter of me, you know, being exposed to it and taking my game up to the next level.
And what do you do to coach a team up in special teams? What kind of things do you go through that makes your special teams truly special?
Well, one, you know, I believe in having starters. You know, you have to have your best players on special teams. Those guys are starters as well, and special teams are important. So, you know, we have to have our best players on special teams, and then you have to find time to actually practice special teams. A lot of, you know, I know high school coaches and coaches kind of put special teams on the back burner, but you have to commit time to, you know, coaching special team and leaving, you know, no stone unturned. All the situations and scenarios that take place, the special teams like the hand team, like the squib kick teams, like the onside kick team, you know, different punt returns, all those things, you know, have to be rehearsed and practiced, because, you know, you may do it one or two times, but when you do it, it's very important. It's a critical a point in time in the game. So,
in a normal special team situation where you're receiving a kickoff, do you have five up front or six up front?
Well, I have five, and I've kind of reinvented the wheel with my kickoff return. We do like an attack kickoff on in our league. We don't have kickers that can kick the ball as high and as deep as, say, on Division I college level. So what we do is attack. We take out the first five guys in the wall. That creates a lane, and we try to get up in that lane before the outside gunners squeeze it in. And we've been very successful with our kickoff returns.
So you'll take those five guys and you'll attack as opposed to coming back into a kickoff wall.
Yeah, because when you look at on kickoff teams, there's certain zones. There's a speed zone, there's an escape zone, and then there's a contact zone. Well, we're changing that speed zone. Those guys who anticipate or plan on and is used to getting speed in that speed zone, but now we switched it. Now it's an attack zone. So now you have to avoid blockers. You have to try to get out. You know, you have to get out your lane and try to get back in your lane. But we're trying to get those guys out of their lanes, keep them out of their lanes, and keep that little alley wide before it closes up, you know, later on down the field. So, I think Aurelius may have had like 9 kickoff returns in his career here with us, and Vontae's had a few. So we've been pretty much known for our kickoff returns and punt returns.
Yeah, we need to get those going a little more down at U of I. I was going to ask you if you've seen some film of the past year. Frankly, you know, Regis's performance on kickoff and punts maybe didn't live up to our expectations, not throwing it all in his lap. But if you saw some film, what'd you see there that, went wrong in terms of breaking them loose?
Well, I really, you look at the games, you look at the TV version, and you don't really get to see the entire, the scheme that they have in place. But the only thing that I could say, about Regis' punt returns is, raising his hands or blocking out the sun with his hand. I think that hurt him a couple of times when he got called for an inappropriate signal for a fair catch. Or was interpreted as a signal for a fair catch, where he may have just been, shading his eyes or anything like that. But I think, they've done a decent job, but people prepare for Aurelius and Vontae and returns. So, it's just a matter of those guys beating them. They have to, on kickoff returns, you have to beat one guy sometimes as well, like the kicker or one of their best wedge breakers or something like that. So,
Coach Jeffries, a couple things before we go. When do you anticipate that Vontae Davis will declare for the pro draft?
I don't know. I don't know. We talked a little bit about it. He's open to listening to going and staying. That was positive. That he's not totally made a decision. So he's entertaining the possibility of possibly coming back, and he's entertaining the possibility of leaving. I don't know when deadline is for him to make a decision on that.
But, and what have you told him?
I told him to make sure you talk with Coach Zook. That's the main thing, that he talks to Coach Zook, gets his opinion, find out where he would be in the draft. Don't let a lot of outside people get in his ear about the dollars and cents and just where the options, what's going to be best for him. A lot of guys go to the draft because the quote unquote terms that they have to take care of their family.
Right.
Well, he has a brother that was a first round draft choice that pretty much took care of his family. So
he's got options.
He has options.
The other thing before we break, make me a promise.
Okay.
Send me a copy of your special teams tape, and I'll get it to the right person.
Okay, and I think you'll like it. But the difference what separates this, I had to modify for our league. Like I said, we don't see the deep kicks and the high kicks, but it's unreal the productivity that we have with kick returns. I've done clinics on it, and
put together a tape, and you can write me a letter and tell me what you did, and why it's a little different than what you do at the D1 level. But I'll make sure it gets in the right hands.
Okay, I will do.
We'll call you back or email you, tell you where to send it, Coach.
Okay, do that, and I'll make sure you get that.
Thanks, Coach Jeffries.
Okay, enjoy talking to you guys.
Okay, thanks for joining us. Have a great holiday season, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks. Merry Christmas to you and all.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. You can email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com or call us at 888-463-6748. We'll be back in a moment with these words from our sponsors.
You want to build a house. Where do you start? With a plan, right? That's what AXA Advisors is all about. They work with you one-on-one to help you build a financial strategy, a good foundation that year by year can get you closer to the things you really want to achieve. So start right with a blueprint for life. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to five vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. RizzaCars.com.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.